Welcome to the Deep Dive, and today, a Mohawk Valley Voice Deep Dive. We're really zeroing in on what's happening right here in our own communities.
That's right. We've pulled together quite a stack of sources for this. Things like official state websites, governor's office press releases, Empire State Development info, some economic development reports, and even, you know, the actual state law behind one of the main programs.
Yeah. And our mission today is to really unpack these New York State efforts aimed at revitalizing communities, specifically programs tackling vacant, blighted properties.
Right. We want to see what they are, how they actually function, and then importantly, shine a light on the projects happening right here. Places like Rome, Amsterdam, Boonville, Cooperstown, Herkimer, Richfield Springs.
Okay, so let's start with a challenge. Why do these programs even exist? The sources are pretty clear. It's about dealing with vacant, abandoned, sometimes condemned, or just surplus buildings. They're everywhere.
And they're not just, you know, eyesores. The sources use some strong terms. They talk about severe economic injury, a depressing effect on development potential. It really can stifle a community.
Totally. It hits quality of life, economic growth, makes it tougher to attract people, businesses. It's a real drag.
Exactly. And the state clearly recognizes this. The goal of these programs we're looking at is explicitly to transform these liabilities, really, into something positive, into vibrant centers, magnets for redevelopment.
So what's the state's approach? Our sources point to several initiatives, but two really stand out for this kind of revitalization. First, there's the Downtown Revitalization Initiative, the DRI.
Yeah, the DRI comes up a lot. It's described as a cornerstone. Its focus is maybe a bit broader, transforming whole downtown neighborhoods, making them vibrant places people want to be.
High quality of life, redevelopment, jobs, economic and housing diversity. It covers a lot.
And it even ties into bigger goals like climate. By focusing development downtown, you encourage transit, maybe less driving.
Right. Makes sense. And that one's led by the Department of State, working with, you know, Empire State Development, ESD Homes, and Community Renewal, NYSERDA for the energy stuff.
Right.
A real team effort.
But the other big one, and the one maybe more laser focused on individual problem properties, is the Restore New York Communities Initiative. Restore NY.
Okay, Restore NY. That one sounds like it gets right to the heart of the blight issue. The sources say it's about direct financial help.
Exactly. Direct financial assistance to municipalities. Mm-hmm. So your cities, towns, villages, specifically to deal with blighted commercial and residential properties. We're talking demolition, deconstruction, rehab, reconstruction.
And that one's run by Empire State Development, ESD.
Correct. So let's dig into how Restore New York actually works. The sources give a pretty good roadmap. The main goal, like we said, is community development, neighborhood growth by getting rid of or fixing up these blighted spots.
So how does, say, a village get this money? What's the process?
Well, first, the municipality has to do its homework. They need to conduct an assessment, basically identify all the vacant, abandoned, condemned, surplus buildings they want to target.
Okay, make a list.
Make a list, yeah. A detailed property assessment list. And critically, they have to say what they plan to do with each one. Tear it down, fix it up, rebuild it, whatever.
And then what? Just send the list to Albany.
No. This is where it gets interesting and where you see a specific public process mandated by the law. Before they even apply, the municipality must publish that entire list.
Publish it where?
In a local daily newspaper for at least 3 consecutive days.
Wow. Okay. So it's out there for everyone to see.
Yes. And that's not all. They also have to hold public hearings right in the communities where the targeted buildings are located.
So people can show up, see the plan, ask questions, give feedback.
Precisely. It's a built-in mechanism for transparency and local input. The sources really highlight this as part of the program structure, kind of showing democracy in action at that local level.
That's important. So after the list is public, the hearings are held. Then they apply.
And they apply. And they also need to show they have some skin in the game. The sources say they need a matching contribution.
How much?
At least 10% of the grant amount they're asking for. It can be cash or it can be in kind, like the cost of doing that property assessment or the staff time to manage the grant. It shows local commitment.
Got it. So not just a handout. And I assume not everyone who applies gets funded?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Applications are evaluated regionally, often by those regional economic development councils, the REDCs, groups of local business leaders, academics, officials.
Right. And they score them based on?
Based on how well the projects meet the program goals. Mm. You know, will it spur commercial investment? Will it improve local housing? Things like that.
Are there specific priorities? Like, do certain types of projects get preference?
Yes. The sources mentioned a few. Economically distressed communities often get priority. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Projects that leverage other money, like combining Restore NY with federal grants or other state funds, they score well too.
Wow.
Get more bang for the buck.
Okay.
And very relevant recently, one funding round specifically prioritized projects fixing damage from those bad storms we had in July 2024.
Right. That direct disaster recovery link. And does the funding amount vary?
It does. The legislation mentions different amounts, sometimes with caps, depending on if it's residential, commercial, per unit, per square foot.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of detail.
And I think I said something about special projects.
Yes. Good catch. That's for those really big, highly visible, blighted properties that are causing major economic harm. A real anchor dragging things down.
So they can get extra funding for those?
They can. A municipality under a million people could get up to like $3.5 million extra for a second project or just a much larger single project under that designation. It allows for tackling those really tough ones.
Okay, that gives us a really clear picture of the Restore NY program itself based on the sources. But let's get concrete. What does this actually look like here in the Mohawk Valley?
Right, this is where we see the impact. The sources show the Mohawk Valley region has definitely benefited. In a recent round, the region got nearly $8 million for six specific projects.
Six projects. Okay, let's walk through them. Where should we start?
Let's start with the City of Rome. They got a big award, $3.5 million. And it was one of those special project designations we just talked about.
Okay, $3.5 million for Rome. What's the project?
This funding, the sources are very specific, is for repairing and modernizing two vacant properties that were damaged by that EF2 tornado back on July 16th, 2024. So directly addressing that storm recovery priority.
Wow. So turning a disaster into an opportunity, hopefully. What will the buildings become?
One is set to be mixed-use commercial space,
mm-hmm.
maybe some event space. The other is planned for redevelopment into large industrial space. Part of a bigger facility, something like 180,000 square feet combined. So yeah, tackling storm damage, but also creating significant economic space.
Okay, that's Rome. Where next along the valley?
Let's head east to the city of Amsterdam. They received $1 million. Their project focuses on that huge former Sunoco paper mill site, a classic large blighted industrial property.
Right, I know the one. What's the plan there?
The plan, according to the sources, is a mixed-use conversion. They mentioned things like a bakery, a brew pub, retail space. And there's a clear job target mentioned too, aiming for at least 150 jobs, particularly tied to the bakery becoming a production and distribution hub.
150 jobs, that's significant for Amsterdam. Okay, moving up the valley, Boonville.
Village of Boonville, yep. They got $1 million too. This is for reconstructing the Boone building. It was badly damaged by fire back in 2020.
Another recovery project then, fire this time. What's going into the rebuilt Boone building?
The sources say the plan is for three commercial spaces on the ground floor. They mention specifics like a sporting goods store, an artisanal meat market, a gift shop, and then 10 residential units upstairs.
Yeah.
So bringing back both business and housing to a key downtown building.
Nice mix. Okay, let's hop over to Otsego County. Cooperstown got funding too.
Yes. Village of Cooperstown, $1 million. Their project tackles a site that's been vacant for a long time. Used to be a factory made cheese, furniture, even baseball bats at different times.
That sounds like a site with history. But blighted now? What's the plan?
Demolition first, then new construction. They're planning a 50-unit apartment building. And the sources really emphasize the focus here. Accessible, affordable, and permanent supportive housing. Plus, incorporating energy efficiency, green practices, parking. Addressing a real need.
Affordable housing is huge. So turning an old factory site into homes. Good stuff. What about Herkimer?
Village of Herkimer. Also $1 million. This is for rehabilitating a landmark, building the historic former Masonic Temple.
Oh, that's a prominent building. What's the vision there?
Turning it into a commercial hub. The sources highlight creating spaces for diverse businesses. And get this, they specifically mentioned developing the region's only certified kitchen.
A certified kitchen for food entrepreneurs.
Exactly. To support local food startups. And another interesting point the sources make, this Restore NY project is leveraging Herkimer's other big state grant, their $10 million DRI award.
Ah, so stacking the funding, using both programs together. Smart.
It's a great example of how that can work for bigger impact.
Okay, one more. Richfield Springs.
Yep. Village of Richfield Springs, also Otsego County. They got $469,593 for a project at 241 Main Street.
Almost half a million. What's happening there?
Rehabilitating and renovating a historic building into an inn, guest rooms, event center. And interestingly, they plan to bring back historic mineral spas that were once on the site.
Wow, restoring the spas, that's unique.
It is, and the funding addresses serious structural needs, roof replacement, chimney repair, plus adding housing by converting the top floor into an apartment. So preservation, tourism, housing, fixing structural issues, all rolled into one.
These are really tangible projects. You can picture the transformations. So stepping back, looking at these programs and these Mohawk Valley examples, what does this tell us about how government works to fix these kinds of problems?
Well, the sources really paint a picture of a multi-layered system, don't they? You see the state government, the governor's office, the legislature, creating the programs, putting money in the budget.
Right.
You see references to fiscal year funding, state law, like Section 16N for Restore NY. That's the framework.
Right, setting the stage.
Then you have the state agencies, like ESD or Department of State, actually running the programs day to day, setting guidelines, reviewing the applications, getting the funds out, administration.
Okay. State policy, state administration, then the regional part.
Yeah, those REDCs. They play a role in evaluating, maybe prioritizing projects based on regional needs or strategies, adding that regional perspective.
And then the crucial piece is the local governments.
Absolutely essential. The cities, the villages like Rome,
right,
and Amsterdam, Boonville, they're the ones who see the blight firsthand, identify the specific buildings, come up with the project ideas, do the legwork in the application, and then actually manage the revitalization work if they get the grant.
They're the boots on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And importantly, as we discussed with Restore NY, the process includes those mandated points for public awareness and input, publishing the list, holding the hearings.
Right, the democratic engagement piece.
Yeah. The sources show it's not just top down. There are these built-in steps required by law for citizens to be informed and have some say in what happens in their own backyards.
So what we're really seeing in the sources is this complex interplay, right? State policy, agency action, regional input, local implementation, and avenues for public participation. All part of the governmental structure trying to solve a visible problem like blight.
That's a good way to put it. It's the system, you know, working through its different levels to achieve a specific community goal.
So, okay, we've gone deep into the details of these programs and projects. Why does this matter to someone listening? Why should you care about Restore NY grants or DRI plans?
Because these aren't just abstract government programs. They are physically changing the places where you live, work, maybe grab coffee, right here in the Mohawk Valley.
Yeah, we're talking about taking buildings that might have been boarded up for years. The source is called depressing or economically damaging.
And turning them into something productive again. Homes people can afford, like in Cooperstown. Businesses creating jobs, like in Amsterdam. Community spaces, restored historic sites, like in Herkimer or Richfield Springs.
The goal here, coming through loud and clear from the sources, is tangible improvement, better quality of life, more economic opportunity, a stronger local tax base eventually, as these properties become valuable again, safer, more appealing neighborhoods.
Whether it's housing, jobs, preserving history, or even recovering from a natural disaster like that tornado in Rome, these projects have a direct, visible impact on the fabric of our communities.
So we've taken quite the deep dive today into New York State's revitalization efforts, focusing particularly on Restore New York, and we've seen how it translates into real, on-the-ground changes across the Mohawk Valley.
Yeah, from Rome dealing with tornado damage, to Cooperstown building affordable housing, to Amsterdam, Boonville, Herkimer, Richfield Springs bringing new life to old, sometimes forgotten buildings. The sources show these state programs, fueled by state funds but driven by local action, are definitely making a mark.
And we saw how these changes happen through structured government processes. Multiple levels involved state, regional, local, and importantly, with those built-in requirements for public notification and input, giving citizens a window into and a voice on significant local plans.
So here's maybe a final thought to leave you with based on this deep dive. These programs really show how visible problems, like a decaying building on Main Street, are tackled through our governmental system. It involves cooperation across different levels and includes, by design, opportunities for the public to be part of the process.
Right. So if you're interested in what happens next in your own town or village, understanding these mechanisms is pretty useful. Maybe look into your local municipality's development plans. Keep an eye out for notices about public hearings like the ones required for Restore NY. It's a way to see how revitalization is taking shape where you live and maybe even share your own thoughts on it.